Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from thedraftnetwork.com. Trevor, we are done. We're done with our summer scouting.
We're done with the draft. We're done doing anything. We'll see you guys in May.
Screw it, man.
Everyone knows tape again. The final year of tape doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the scores you posted at the Nike All-American thing when you were a sophomore in high school. That's the truest form of translation to the NFL.
Amen. And with that in mind, our rankings, which are final for the 2019 NFL Draft, which is what we'll be discussing today on the podcast. So those of you who've seen it, seen us, our top 10s over at thedraftnetwork.com. Make sure you check them out if you haven't. Trevor and I, along with Cal Krabs and Joe Marino, the Draft Dudes podcast, and our colleagues over at the Draft Network have their top 10s up as well.
Every position.
All
including kicker.
110 dudes.
Long snapper. We got top 10s.
That's a lie. But I know you would pick the Florida guys if we had it. Which I can't even blame you on that, because last year Florida had like the best special teams battery to come out in the draft, and they both got disrespected in the draft, didn't they?
Y'all laughed at me.
That kicker didn't get drafted, and the punter, did the punter get drafted?
And? Yeah, oh my God, of course Johnny Townsend got drafted. Yes. They went to the same team, dude.
Right. But the kicker didn't get drafted, right? Pinheiro?
Yeah, Pinheiro didn't get drafted, which is hella stupid.
Is he winning his job? I don't even know where he is. I have no idea.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm sure.
No, you're sure you haven't paid attention? You don't know where he is. Where is he?
Wait, what do you mean? Like, where is he?
What team is he on?
Like, team?
Yeah.
He's on the Raiders.
Okay, so is he winning the job?
Him and Johnny Townsend went to the same team, John.
Right, I heard you say that, but are they winning the job? How have they done in preseason? Do you know?
Magnificently.
You're just making that up.
Buy their stitched jerseys right now.
Either Pinheiro's competing with Mike Nugent now. Okay, please look this up while I set up. So look up and don't lie about this. Don't skew the numbers.
Okay.
Look up Eddie Pinheiro, NFL.com stats, and look up Mike Nugent, NFL.com stats.
Okay.
And we will do a side by side comparison. Johnny Townsend has no competition, which he's actually good, so that doesn't surprise me. Pinheiro has a monster leg. We've talked about this. He should have been drafted over the other kickers. I mean, he's a kicker, so he never should be drafted.
All right. He's kicked 4 times.
Pinheiro.
Yes.
And he's made 3 of them.
And he's made all 4 of them.
How long? What's the long?
Longest is 48. So
That's not bad, though. And what about Nugent?
So Pinheiro kicked in... Pinheiro kicked in the very last game that they had, and Mike Nugent kicked in the first 2. Nugent's missed a field goal, and his long is only 32. Oh, my God.
What did Nugent miss from, did it say?
Longer than 32, I'm sure, because he's not as good.
Because he sucks.
Absolutely.
Okay,
sucks.
So Pinheiro's legit winning the job. How many times has Nugent kicked?
He's kicked 4 times.
Okay, so they both kicked 4 times. Pinheiro's
100%. No, 5, counting extra points, because we have to count extra points now, because it's technically...
Did Pinheiro make all his extra points?
Of course he did.
So Pinheiro has yet to miss as an NFL kicker.
Even in practice.
Wow. And Nugent has missed once.
Yes.
And multiple times in practice, probably, just because if it's our narrative. There you go. Pinheiro it is. Well done. Good research there, live on the podcast. No. Let's talk about these quarterback rankings. Speaking of research, doesn't seem like you did much before you did your quarterback rankings. DeAndre Francois, QB1. So you let us go through quarterback week a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping these names, Drew Lock, mm-hmm. Justin Herbert, Brian Lewerke,
mm-hmm.
and you just sitting on QB1. Didn't say one word about him, but he was your QB1 last year too. And then he got
hurt. It's called building anticipation. Mm-hmm. Something you would know nothing about.
Well, I think building anticipation would have been giving people at least a teaser that, like, my QB1, none of these fools.
Full shock factor. No, I like Francois. I mean, I really do. So I wrote my 5-play prospect column, which is actually like 8 plays. I cheated a little bit this week because I had a lot to say about it. About kind of the positives and negatives about Francois going into the year. The things I really like from him. Now, obviously, a lot of his game tape comes from his redshirt freshman year, which was in 2016. So a lot of time has gone by since then. We, you know, he won the job. He recently won the job of the starting quarterback back, I think either this week or last week. I never thought that that was in doubt. I know that you were saying that Blackman kind of had a chance there because he showed a little bit last year, and he did. I'm not going to just say they didn't, but again, yeah,
I did say Francois was going to win the job. I just want that on the record.
Okay,
but right, I did think that Blackman flashed last year, but not sure. As ready as Francois.
Sure. And so I there's just a lot of things that I like about him. Certainly handy how he handles pressure. I think his arm is fine. I love his mechanics. I think he's got a really compact throwing motion. His lower body is, I think, great. He always squares up to his throws. There are little things that I saw from his tape when he was just a 19-year-old redshirt freshman that I thought, man, if that's what I'm getting as a baseline of a quarterback, I'm okay with it. Like, I think that his accuracy and his touch are going to be able to get better because I do trust his throwing motion a lot. You know, sometimes you see guys who might struggle with accuracy, and Francois certainly has accuracy things that he needs to get better with. I'm not saying he's a perfect prospect. And I even say at the end of the article, kind of him being my QB1 is almost, you know, I'm seeing flaws in a lot of these guys, and I think I like what I see upstairs, you know, sure, from Francois better.
Right.
At least at this point in time. But there's certainly accuracy things that he has to get better. But sometimes I can watch a quarterback and think, man, you know, his accuracy needs to get better. But if he's throwing like that, if that's his throwing motion, I just don't know how he gets better. Francois is different. I think he's more refined. I think he's more, I guess I'll say, like, pro-ready in a lot of his mechanics. So I've got to think that with experience, that's going to kind of step up. So it's a risk, certainly. But I like a lot of things that I see from him, man. I really do. I hope he comes out and he balls out, because I think that this guy could be a really fun quarterback prospect to evaluate going from college to the NFL if he does.
Let me put it this way. It was dumber/wilder of you to have Francois' QB1 going into last year, because I just thought you were nuts. No, wait, you didn't have him QB1.
No, he wasn't QB1 last year.
On the pod, you didn't say, yeah, you said, I remember you had Josh Allen QB1 on the pod, and yes, I had him QB3, I think, and we both were like, oh, this, you know, it was a projection thing, like if he takes the stride, and he could have been if he took the strides, instead he regressed. But that was the big thing with us. And then what it was after the Alabama game, or during the Alabama game, that's when you tweeted, and that tweet
I was like, I said that he was better than Josh Allen and Sam Darnold.
Yes, and that he should have been your QB1. And then people were like, wait, you just said Josh Allen was your QB1, and you said the facts have changed.
What changed my mind?
I'm allowed to do that. That was the wilder thing, because in this class, I think you're right. Like, who cares if you're taking a risk? You're taking a risk with Drew Locke. You're taking a risk with Justin Herbert. You're taking a risk with all these guys at this point. Now, I think Francois is more of a risk. He's not in my top 10 quarterbacks, but I could absolutely see Francois being in my top 10 quarterbacks by the time this season's over. You know, 1, 2, 3, and that's a stretch for me, but you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's totally off the reservation. Like, people were talking about, but I mean, it's a hot take for sure. It's a sizzler. My top three, I had Drew Locke, Justin Herbert, and Brian Lewerke. Those are the three that I feel most confident. I will say this. I popped in some Nate Stanley tape, watched like 3 games of his. There's something there.
I haven't watched him yet, so I don't even have him on my rankings.
Yeah, he's intriguing. I think you'll like him. Compact, pretty actually, I think his mechanics could use some work here and there, but I mean, there's some velocity on the ball when he throws it. His accuracy in general is pretty good. There's some things that definitely you could tell, like, this guy needs more time, he needs more experience, but he had some gorgeous, everybody in this class in the same department with a deep ball. It's a couple gorgeous throws coupled with tons of massive misses down the field. So we've got to find somebody to get some consistency this year with the vertical, with the deep ball down the field. But it was a good quarterback's rankings. It was fun. I don't think this class is nearly as bad as people think it is.
I don't think it's as bad.
It has potential.
It is certainly a pick your preference at this point in time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's definitely a projection group for sure. But there's like no lack of tools. I think there's guys definitely with the tools to develop. And I mean, heck, Josh Allen didn't develop at all his last year, and he got picked in the top 10. So I don't know. Running back.
We can't go through all of these. So just like spot pick a couple.
We aren't, but we are going to touch on the major things. And with running back, Matt Colburn was RB4 for you. And I just I respect that, because I didn't even really think about Colburn for these ranks, because it just seemed like plays here and there. But right. I should have like really watched him. I know you really watched him and you did a piece on him too. So, and you snuck your boy Jordan Scarlett in there. Okay. I respect it.
Yeah, I did. Had to. I mainly snuck Scarlett in there because I know you're the SEC guy. And anytime we have a guy who hasn't had a scouting report yet.
Yeah. You know, it annoys me.
I know. You then go watch them. Yeah. So then it was kind of my way of making you go watch Jordan Scarlett. But no, I do like Matt Colburn. Somebody, when I wrote that article about him a couple weeks ago, somebody was like, do you see a little bit of Doug Martin in him? Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Yeah, yeah. You know,
I like that.
I do see a little bit of Doug Martin in him.
He's going to get caught in Oakland, so I don't know how that bodes for Colburn's career. But.
Hey, man, Doug Martin was the number two rusher in the NFL for 2 years. Dude. You know who was number one in front of him both years?
Alfred Morris.
No, it was Adrian Peterson.
That was a really passionate guess on my part.
Yeah, that was, you were like, Alfred Morris, like as if you were like family friends with the guy. Like you were pumped about it.
Didn't Alfred Morris, weren't he and Doug Martin in the same class? Is that true?
Oh, I have no idea.
Am I right about that? I thought it was. Maybe not.
All right, fine. I'll look it up. I'll look it up. You can talk about your running backs. I'll look up.
I won't say much on the running backs other than I was just going to point out because my rankings are not as – there's no real hot takes in there. This running back class to me is pretty obvious. But I really don't know that I even see – I don't even know that I see potential for another first-round running back other than Rodney Anderson. I'll go that far. I don't – not that I even think this bad.
They were in the same draft, by the way.
And Alfred was undrafted. Was one of them under?
Sixth round.
So Alfred was sixth. Okay. And then didn't – I think Alfred outrushed Martin.
In their career? I'm going to look.
As rookies, maybe?
I'm going to look.
As rookies.
Oh, my God.
As rookies, I feel
like. Yeah, Alfred's got Doug Martin beat by a mile.
Here's the thing. Alfred Morris might have the – I know it has nothing to do with our show, but Alfred Morris has had the strangest career. Successful almost everywhere he's been as a rusher. Can't catch. Average pass protector. Yeah. Like, there's just nothing dynamic about him, but the dude is just freaking good. And the fact
dude
that he's
averaged
just on the street
100 yards a game.
Yeah. He was absolutely churning it out. And it was just like, eh.
How old do you think Alfred Morris is right now?
29.
Wow, great guess. Great guess. He is 29. He's 29.
It's just strange. You know, I watched All or Nothing. He was on there with the Cowboys. He was a featured guy in one of the episodes, and I was just like, he comes in, like, they sign him off the street, or I forget now, but he just comes in, churning out 100-yard game, churning out big performances, running great. Like, I'm like, what? I don't get it, man. This guy's clearly good. Like, why don't
– NFL is weird, man.
Trying to tell me
the NFL is weird.
He got C.J. Anderson. That's what happened.
I don't get it.
I don't either, man. Someday when we get to heaven, we'll just ask God and be like, why, God? Why did Alfred Morris not get the respect?
Is that the first
question? God will be like, I've been waiting for someone to come up here, ask me about my son, Alfred. That'll be our claim to fame right there. How about wide receivers? We are very different on this front. We've already talked about our wide receivers actually pretty extensively recently.
I mean, I don't know if we're very different. I mean, we have a lot of the same guys at the top. But I mean, like,
you have A.J. Brown ninth, and I have him fourth, and I think we have a pretty similar opinion on A.J. Brown. So it's very odd.
Yeah.
You called me a coward for it. It's fair.
Oh, and you're still a coward. You know, to this day.
It's fair.
To this day, you are a coward.
It does feel funny because I was the first one in our Slack group to kind of be like, I don't really know that A.J. Brown's all that in a bag of chips. Like, I don't get really the excitement. Like,
and you're literally the highest on A.J. Brown in any of us.
The highest in the rankings. Now, I would not take him in the first round, for sure.
You got future tight end J.J. Arcega-Whiteside sitting at wide receiver 9?
Yeah, but you don't even have him in your – wait, are you ripping on me for having him in the top 10 at all?
I just wanted to poke fun at you calling him future NFL tight end.
Kyle's got him wide receiver 7.
I do see that. I do see that there.
Yeah. You were higher in Keel Harry than me. I want to be higher in Harry. I really wanted to like him. I couldn't see yet. You're higher than Amon Richards. I think potential's through the roof with Richards for sure. I could see Lodge, Edwards, and Richards all over A.J. Brown at the end of the season. I was really close to putting Lodge over Brown, to be honest. Just not sure that the game is as well-rounded yet as I want it to be, but we'll see. I think exciting year for those guys, and really – super excited. I think Lodge plays Greedy Williams again. The matchup part two is at the end of September, I think, one of the last weeks in September. So I'm
nice.
Thrilled about that. Tight ends, we were pretty much on the same page with as well. You and I were the one. We had both had Dawson Knox first and Noah Fant second. You had Caden Smith in there at number four.
Look,
number
man, three. And I haven't seen a ton of him, but I have seen a little bit. And even like in the games where I've watched him stand for guys, and so I've watched his side of the ball, and even some like Stanford's opponents. And dude's had some really nice catches out of the corner of my eye that I've caught. And, so on the limited amount that I've watched of him, I like a good amount of what I see. And I like Irv Smith too from Alabama. He's just
I could not believe you had him up there. I was like, I'm going to have Irv Smith in here, and he's going to be my low-key sleeper. Like, he's going to be my tight end.
Nah, dude, that kid can play. But he's just
and then
not
you
that
put
consistent.
Him in, I was like, what? But he's like 6'3", 245.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's going to run. I mean, he's going to run. He's an athlete. He's honestly good. Like, he isn't used in the passing game as much, but like size, speed-wise, I bet he projects pretty similar to Jordan Akins, who was a third-round pick last year, and he comes from Alabama, and now, he's not a great blocker, and I expect him to be better for being an inline guy who mostly blocks. He hardly caught any balls last year.
Yeah,
he's
I know.
He's got the O.J. Howard thing going on with
him. I know. It was frustrating for me to watch him a couple of his games. I'm like, man, send this guy out, please.
But heck, at this point, we're just looking at tight ends with athleticism. That's all we want. Just give us
that's why
guys.
That's why he's my four. That's why he's tight four.
I don't blame you at all. I think he could absolutely work his way up there into that type of range. For me, I like Isaac Nauta a lot. I actually sneakily really like this tight end class. I think it's a good tight end class. I thought first I was like, this is going to be a dud class. But then I watched that. Even Caleb Wilson impressed me a little bit more than I thought he would. I'm very excited about this class for tight ends and for wide receivers. It's going to be fun for the pass catchers. We've talked we talked offensive linemen all week, so we won't revisit that. Interior defensive line, we both had some sizzlers. You put Rashawn Gary in the interior defensive line. So did Cal and so did Joe. I felt like, again, I was the one to say, like, I think Rashawn Gary should play on the inside. The only reason I don't have him listed with the interior defensive lineman, he would be number four for all of us, interior D lineman number four, if he were in my interior D line rankings. But I didn't put him in there because he just cut weight, and he said he's trying to play on the edge. So I was like, well, I'm not going to, bang my head against the wall. If he's trying to play edge and the NFL is going to see him as an edge because he's sized like an edge. But I agree with you that he'd be better.
When I was putting him in the table, I knew why you didn't have him there. But I also, I knew your thoughts on him. I think we both think that moving straight forward, just right off the snap, he goes speed to power real nice. And I think I think he could have a lot of success on the inside if he wants it. But hey, edge guys make more money. He wants to be an edge player. I totally get it. I thought it was funny that if you put Gary in at four, like you just said, you, myself, and Kyle Krabs would have the same top five defensive linemen.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah,
because Rashard Lawrence, and we would almost have the same six, except I have Robert Landers over.
It's funny because there's the everybody talks about the defensive line having the most talent. You'd think we would be like a little bit more mixed up, but we were all Ed Oliver, Raekwon Davis, Jeffrey Simmons, and then if I was putting Rashawn Gary in there. Rashawn Gary and then Rashard Lawrence would have been five for Cal, myself, and you. And Joe had Christian Wilkins there. I had Christian Wilkins next. You were lower on Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence than I was. Well, Dexter Lawrence. Yeah, you don't even have Dexter Lawrence in your top 10.
Nope.
Slinging heat.
Nope.
I had Ricky Walker at number 8. I think he's a sleeper that more people. I have Isaiah Buggs at number 7. Cal had Isaiah Buggs 10, but you had him in there. You had him in there at number 9.
Like
Isaiah Buggs, yeah.
Yep.
So you and I are kind of the Draymond Jones truthers of the crew. Kyle and Joe didn't have him in their top 10. Most people have him in first round mocks right now. We're not quite that high on him, but
no,
I like the potential there. He's very tough to evaluate.
I mean, I have Landers higher than Jones, but I still like Jones.
Man, I have trouble with Landers too. There's some plays where he's just overwhelmed because he's just not that big or long. I mean, he's so small for a nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they kick him out to 3 in the NFL because he's kind of explosive. Yeah,
I hope that dude can get off the snap, man. Yeah, put him at 3.
He's feisty. Draymond is difficult because his movement skills are so rare for an interior defensive lineman. But Cal is right when he says that he just gets bodied too much. Like, it's a concern. So I put him up there at 6, but I got to see.
Unless you are getting drafted in the top 10. If you're sacrificing one or the other. You can't have movement and strength and size.
Yeah. it's, yeah.
You're in the top 15 if you have all of them. But if not, you're sacrificing it somewhere. And that's the thing with Jones. Jones will put on some really nice plays where he can move so well. He'll counter some interior offensive linemen where they just, they're left whiffing at air, trying to grasp at air or whatever. And Draymond makes them look silly. But then there's other times that he's playing as an interior defensive lineman that he just gets single blocked. Mm-hmm. And then it's a liability. And so that's it. Draymond Jones is a weird case because if he was more talented than he is right now, like even just a little bit more talented than he is right now, we're talking about it like a top half of the first round player.
Yeah.
But we're not. So.
Okay. Edge guys, I got to ask you, what happened with you and Cleveland Farrell? You were like completely on same boat as me that he was like good player, but overrated. And then he ends up being edge two for you. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. I've gone back and forth on Cleveland Farrell so much over the last 2 years.
Because
and
he's a like, good player. He's just...
I know. It's just... I think... And here's the thing with Brian Burns. And I actually read your little interaction on Twitter. When was it? Yesterday. Where somebody said that Burns... It was like a clip of Burns doing an inside-out move that was just filthy. And then you... Mm-hmm. Somebody said that he's up to 245 pounds.
Yeah.
If Burns is up to 245 pounds, 250 pounds, and he's putting inside-out moves on like that was on that tape, that dude's... That dude's gonna be good.
He's but going top 10.
As of right now, though, I gotta stick with Cleveland Farrell going into the preseason because his game is so all around. He has just such like all around size, strength, speed. He's not incredible at bending the edge, but there's a couple of plays where you're like, oh man, that was nice. That was nice around the edge. He can do different moves. He can hold blockers, and so I think just because he is consistent, and I don't even mean that in a crutch way. I mean high level consistent. He was my edge, too, going into it, and so that's why.
He is. He's a good football player, and he's a good college player, and I think that that is going to make him a tougher evaluation because there isn't, like Dexter Lawrence. It's like, okay, I get it. He has, like, you say he has great movement skills, and he's a huge dude, and he's a five-star recruit, so I get that there's this aura of potential there, but, like, you don't really see it on tape. With Cleveland Farrell, it's like, you see it. Like, he doesn't get his sacks and hustle way. I mean, he does, but, like, he beats guys 1v1. It's just whether he'll be able to do that at the same level in the NFL because he does lack that type of athleticism that I think he really needs. So that's where the conversation will be with him. I like him a lot too. I mean, he's in my top, I have four edges in my top 15. So he's edge four for me, which is lower than all of you guys who you all had him edge two, but I still have him number 14 overall. So I still have him pretty high.
Yeah. I have them all really high as well. So
Ben Banigao was my kind of, the TCU kid was kind of my,
have not watched
a little bit so higher. Yeah. You were higher up on Anfernee Jennings than the rest of us. Edge four for you. Jabari Zuniga, your Florida guy. Again, I know you want me to watch him. I've actually wanted to watch him and I'm going to prioritize it next week because he has traits.
That is the thing with Zuniga, and oh man, I know we've talked about this a lot, but I just hope that Florida actually has coaches that know how to coach their talent because Zuniga especially can be good because, man, in his redshirt freshman season, that dude could blow off the ball and fire his arms and swim move people, and it was just like, oh my goodness. And then there's other reps where he's the very last guy out of his stance.
Yeah.
He gets locked up, has no idea how to get out of it. But him being edge seven for me is nothing more than projection. I see the potential highs with him. That's it. But there are a couple plays that I've seen from him over the years where I'm just like, wow, that's a pass rusher. So
I was with you there, but then when you put CeCe Jefferson edge nine, you know you're a homer, right?
I mean, I haven't watched these other dudes.
You know, you admit it. Tell the people you know.
No.
Unbelievable. CeCe Jefferson.
Francois QB1, I have the ultimate out card.
Yeah, but it's for all Florida
ultimate
people.
Ultimate out card, John!
That's your thing. It's for all Florida. All the whole state.
No. Just, oh, okay. So what, Florida has bad football players?
No, they have great football players.
Oh, okay, cool. Good. No, but honestly, like the CeCe Jefferson thing, like, you know, we've had this talk. I'm not even that high on CeCe Jefferson. I just haven't. I haven't watched enough edge guys, really. So yeah. I mean, like, I have Sutton Smith edge 10, you know.
Right, and you were.
I haven't watched enough of these other dudes yet.
I'm curious. I hope Sutton Smith gets up to like 250. I'll believe it when I see it.
He'll never.
Linebackers,
peanut butter sandwiches a night, Sutton Smith. I know. That's how you do it.
You love Kendall Joseph, huh? I do like him too. I mean, but you and Cal both had Kendall Joseph high.
Yeah, I do. I think he's good.
He's good. I don't know how athletic he is. He's good, though. Tough Borland was a revelation for me. Tough Borland from Ohio State. I was excited about what I saw from him. I'm excited to watch more of him, to be honest.
His name is literally Tough.
I mean, his name is Tough Borland, dude. Like,
no better linebacker name.
Ever. Like, that's like what you would see in like some football movie.
Borland.
And I think he's Chris Borland's brother or something.
No way.
I think so. So, you know, he's Grit King.
Wow. I'm going to adjust the rankings mid-pod if he is. Hold on.
Yeah, you have him down there, linebacker 7. Could not be me. Just his name enough put him in my top 5. Is he Chris Borland's brother?
No relation to Chris Borland.
Are you serious?
He is in no way related to former Wisconsin linebacker Chris Borland.
That's super disappointing.
Stock down.
Yeah, never mind then. He's dropping out of my top 10. Also, I thought you liked Devin Bush. Oh, he is. He's up there, LB2 for you.
Damn wow. Right, I like Devin Bush.
You got Devin Bush, Kendall Joseph, and Patty Fisher over Devin White. You a hater, dude. I thought I was down on Devin White. Oh, boy. You're low on. I'm low on Devin Bush, so we're just the wrong ends of the Devins. Cornerback, I don't know, man. I had such a hard time getting excited about this class. I watched Chris Boyd, and I was like, this guy's probably going to run on the 4.6s. I don't know, man. I don't know if I see it, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
Taylor's me having 5'9".
Me having DeAndre Baker as CB6 is like all you need to know right now. You know,
I just don't see that. I mean, Arawarie, I know you liked him. He's your CB2. I thought he was running 4.6s too, maybe. And he's my CB4, so I don't know, man. I only see one first round corner in this class.
Do you like LeVert Hill?
Levante Taylor has potential too. LeVert Hill's, yeah, he's solid.
Haven't watched.
He got better at the end of the year. I heard, and I need to see some more games at the end of the year. That's what Jonah Tolles told me. So, yeah, I got to see some more. I mean, I thought he's not even in my top 50. So, round 3 somewhere range. I mean, to me, honest, my top 50 was like third round type of guys. That's always how it is this time of year. And then I'll get to the actual grading scale, but. And then at safety, I think, you know, for me, Dalvin Randall, I got to watch more tape of him since our rankings came out. Found some all-22, some good tape of him. And I don't know. I think that he definitely has some really great ball skills. And there's moments really good against the run and good tackler. And then I think his athleticism is going to leave something to be desired. And
You're hating on Jaquan Johnson, man.
You got to make – I don't know. See, I love Jaquan Johnson last year.
You watched the wrong tape.
I watched like 3 games.
The wrong tape.
I mean, he definitely has ball skills in the way that like he can catch the football, but he doesn't have great instincts and closing speed on the football, I think, right now. I think that could develop. He could easily be my top safety next year. But to me, I just thought the other guys maybe offered a little more upside. Like Lucas Dennis, dude, some of his highlights are crazy. And he's actually aggressive. He just doesn't tackle very well right now.
Haven't watched him.
So
no, I mean, in the NFL, you're not allowed to tackle in the NFL, so that's actually good. It's right. Perfect. It's good.
Who even cares? But I don't know. It's a very interesting safety class. I'm excited to see some of these dudes this season. Right now, it's way more potential than it is finished products, that's for sure. Not like last year's group where you knew Minka and Derwin were going to be studs from like day one. So
the moment they were born.
Right. All right, there you go. There's a brief look through our top 10. On the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Tomorrow we got the Super Show with Kyle and Joe over on Draft Dude, so make sure you check that out. Saturday we got a little Spectator Saturday action for you. We'll take your questions, including your Jim McElwain and shark-related questions for Trevor Sikkema. Until then, keep it locked right here, folks, on Locked On NFL Draft.